Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This morning on the first Sunday of Advent, would you read out loud with me today's sermon title, Real Satisfaction. Based on our epistle lesson for today, these verses. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before God our Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all the saints. These gentlemen are going to help me with something in just a moment, but let me draw your attention over here as they get ready. I invite you to turn to your worship folders and find your sermon outline. Follow along with that sermon outline as we consider our theme, Real Satisfaction. A few years ago, a poll was taken of radio disc jockeys and radio listeners across North America, and they were asked this question. What is the number one rock and roll song of all time? And the poll revealed that the number one rock and roll song of all time was by the British band The Rolling Stones. The year was 1965. Let me just have fun for a moment. How many of you were around in 1965? Okay, about half of us. Well, the name of the song that was voted number one was by the Rolling Stones, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. Now, listen to some of the famous words of this number one song as members of the crew play just a little bit for you. Of worship, but thank you, gentlemen. You can be seated. Pardon the pun, we're satisfied. Okay, there you go. Of all the rock and roll songs over all the years, this was voted as number one. Now, take note, this was 1965, and it occurred to me, even though I never thought I would have that played live in a service of worship. It's very fitting today as we consider our sermon theme, what is real satisfaction? It occurred to me the popularity of that song is probably based on at least two factors. First, the catchy tune and beat. As soon as you hear the riff started playing, you know what song is being played. But even more, that song speaks to the basic dilemma of so many people today, so many people throughout the ages, so many people around us, perhaps we, even ourselves today, are in a constant quest for something, for anything that can bring lasting happiness and satisfaction. The song's popular refrain, you'll never forget, and I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and I tried. Pardon the grammar. And I can't get no satisfaction. But today's epistle reading from 1 Thessalonians 3 that we just read, we'll read again today, speaks of real satisfaction. Of satisfaction and joy and love that is ours not just now in this brief life, but for all eternity. This satisfaction is God's gift to us. This satisfaction is what God gives us now and will only bring to completion in the day that Christ returns and takes us home forever. This satisfaction is what the season of Advent is all about. The season of joy. The season of God's gift of a Savior and lasting satisfaction. Listen again to our sermon text. Paul writes, "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before God our Father at the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Now back to the song, "I Can't Get No Satisfaction." You can almost see the history of the last 50 years in North America with the lyrics of this song. Its lyrics can be a spokesman for our time. "I tried illegal drugs and I can't get no satisfaction. I tried alcohol and the party scene and I can't get no satisfaction. I've tried sexual relationships outside of marriage and I can't get no satisfaction. I've tried money and all the toys that money can buy and I can't get no satisfaction. I've tried to work hard, play hard, and keep my calendar full every day and can't get no satisfaction. I have tried it all." Our modern world can say, "I have tried it all, and all I can say is this, I can't get no satisfaction." When you boil it all down, the search for satisfaction in our sinful natures takes us down one of three paths. They're on your sermon outline. These paths are called happiness, pleasure, and thrills. It's interesting that all three of these things are referred to in one way or the other by the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 5. Paul writes of these things being related to, and I quote, "the works of the flesh and the acts of the sinful nature." Now, you may call them by different names, but the motivation and the desired outcome is all the same. We are trying to create satisfaction for ourselves. Some people are obsessed, number one, with happiness. They want to find that time and that place in life where there will always be a smile on their face and no tears in their eyes. They want to live in Disneyland, forgetting that Disneyland, as wonderful as a place as it is a great illusion and a temporary escape at best. Jesus tells us in no uncertain terms in John 16:33, "In this world you will have tribulation." That is, life is not just one big happy, happy, happy. In our hearts, we know that to be true. But we behave like the words of the lyrics of the Rolling Stones song, "And I tried and I tried and I tried, but I can find no real happiness." Why? Because happiness does not last, cannot last. That's the reality of living in a sinful and fallen world. Sometimes after we discover that happiness doesn't last, we try something else. And that might be, number two, thrills. One wonders if our world today has an obsession with thrills. We buy cars that can travel faster than any highway could safely let us drive. We bungee drop from hundreds of meters above the ground. We look for the biggest and the best roller coaster ride. We crave that adrenaline rush of living on the edge, of living dangerously. Maybe you've heard about one of the world's richest men, who spent millions of his own dollars to buy a seat on the space shuttle. Not because he cares about space research, but because he says in his own words, "I wanted to buy for myself the ultimate thrill. For others, that thrill might be linked to the allure and the excitement of gambling. Now, whatever the thrill of gambling might be, we should not lose sight of the sorrow that it produces. How many people have lost their rent money, or their mortgage money, or their food money, as they get caught up in the next roll of the dice or the next pull of the slot machine lever? Gambling is never a rational decision. It's a mark of society that has embraced the thrill as a way to find that elusive satisfaction. But however, just like happiness, people soon discover that thrills don't last. And here's the devilish thing about thrills. The thrills have to get bigger and bigger, or they cease becoming thrills. Blues singer B.B. King, in his world-famous songs, said this about thrills. The thrill is gone. The thrill is gone away. For some, the quest for satisfaction leads down the third path, the path of pleasure. Regarding the search for pleasure in North America, let's just this morning focus on one thing, sex. Oh, I saw some people who were about nodding off. As soon as I said the word sex out loud, their eyes opened up. Now, don't get me wrong. Sex is a wonderful gift from God, a wonderful gift from God when enjoyed in the proper context of marriage. But in a society's never-ending quest for sexual pleasure in any way and in any context, bring such realities as these, thousands of teenage pregnancies. Countless people, increasing numbers of people, suffering from sexually transmitted diseases. The staggering use of abortion as a means of birth control. Numerous marriages destroyed by adulterous affairs. This, too, is part of what the Rolling Stones song meant when it said, "And I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and I can't get no satisfaction." Now, there's a reason why such worldly and fleeting things like pleasure and thrills and happiness can't bring us any lasting satisfaction. All of these things are behaviors or experiences that have to be imported into our lives from the sinful world around us. As a result, when the world around us shifts or changes, or people or circumstances change or come and go, we're forced to realize again and again that satisfaction, the sense of being completely content, has once again eluded us. What St. Paul calls the works of the flesh or the sinful nature, finally or forever unsatisfying. The things that we depend on to satisfy us let us down. But here's another reason they don't satisfy. It's because, and listen carefully to this phrase, it's because each one of us here has a hole in our souls. Pouring these things into our lives is like pouring water into a metal vegetable strainer filled with holes. No matter how much we pour into this metal strainer, it runs out. It cannot fill up. Why? Because of the holes in the strainer. The holes are never filled up, no matter how much a person pours in. No matter how much of the works of the flesh, no matter how much of worldly happiness, pleasure, or thrills we pour into our lives, we are not filled. We are not satisfied. St. Augustine, the spiritual father of Martin Luther, put it this way. The soul is restless until it finds its rest in thee, O God. A good paraphrase would be this. There is a God-shaped hole in each of our hearts. and try as we might to fill this hole with what the world has to offer, it's like pouring water through a vegetable strainer. Are you ready for some good news? Thanks be to God. This is not the case with the gifts that God gives us. His gifts really satisfy. His gifts fill that hole in the heart of every person. His gifts give us real satisfaction. You see, my friends, God has created us to be in a loving relationship with Him. Without Him, we are incomplete. So it is His pleasure to give us what we need to be complete, to be satisfied. Now, on your sermon outline, please turn to Roman numeral 3, last part of your message. Let's just consider some of these gifts that God give us that really satisfy. I'm going to purposely pause after we mention each gift so we can let them sink in for just a moment. What are some of God's gifts that really satisfy? Number one, His never-ending love. No matter what our world and our life brings. His never-ending love, no matter what your life brings. Next, the absolute assurance of the forgiveness of all of our sins because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and His rising from the grave. I say to you today, your sins are forgiven. That's God's gift. The promise at our baptism that Almighty God will be our Father and never leave us or forsake us. The promise that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit and that He dwells in us to guide us, to direct us and strengthen us. And especially after Erna's funeral yesterday, listen to this promise you have. The reality that this short life is not all that there is, but that He, because of Christ's life, death, and resurrection, has prepared a place with Him in heaven forever. The gifts of His holy word and holy sacraments to strengthen us and to keep us daily in the true faith. The fellowship of believers in the church to stand by our side and stand with us when we need them the most. The end result of all these gifts of God are what the Scripture calls in one phrase, the joy of the Lord. And especially in this season of Advent, the season of joy. Let me tell you this morning, I would rather have the joy of the Lord than any of the satisfactions this world has to offer. In fact, Advent is the season of joy. Blue is the biblical color for joy. The joy of His coming. The joy of His first adventing to us as the babe in Bethlehem's manger. But the joy especially of His second coming to us as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who has come to bring His children home. This is why this joy of the Lord, this is why we sing such a powerful hymn like this. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. God does give us what we really need. He does satisfy us in the truest sense. Now, this doesn't mean we will have all that the world tells us we ought to have. It does mean He will give us all that we finally and eternally need. So we can sing with confidence, the words of that old hymn. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Can't get no satisfaction? No, not from what this world has to offer. But as Holy Scripture tells us, the joy of the Lord is my strength. As an old gospel song says, this joy I have, the world didn't give to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Thank you, dear Lord, for your gift of real and lasting satisfaction. In the name of Jesus, amen.